Warning! This podcast may contain naughty language, including the C word. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, everybody, you've tuned to Shingles. That's where we talk movies, music, trending news, game, sports, current affairs, and anything else that pops into our brains. I am very tired, and he is very achy. This is Shingles List!
Yes! Meg doing an even intro lyric to that. I love it. Yeah, Shingles List, a happy Monday. It's not Monday morning, is it? It's Sunday afternoon, and we're recording. How are you doing, my busy Davey Shingler? How are you doing,
mate? I'm all right. Yeah, I'm sleepy.
You're sleepy?
I'm sleepy, but...
You're all sleepy?
Yeah, I'm sleepy, but apart from that, yeah, I can't grumble.
Wow.
I'm surprised I can hear today, but we'll get into that.
I'm surprised I can stand, and I'll tell you the reason why. Today was something that can be described as one of the bestest comebacks since Muhammad Ali set foot in the ring against that guy who does the grills. that grill making guy, and I returned to 11-a-side football.
You weren't playing for the girls' team, were you?
No,
is that
no full male adults? Not vets.
They ran out of subs, so
not
like,
vets.
Cleon stuck full, a wig on, and
full male 11-a-side football. To which. Now, my brother is the manager of this team.
Okay.
And I was awarded man of the match, so I would have had to have played really well.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
He don't want to give me that. He doesn't want to give it me.
Yeah.
Yeah. In another sentence that came out today, he oozed class.
Ooh.
Oozed
class.
You oozed class today.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, well done you.
So I've retired straight
away. Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Retire at the top.
44
mate.
Years old, who's classed. Yep, done. See it. Yeah. Tick list.
Just stay. Catch you later. Stay done now.
I think that's why he's told it me. Lost 3-0.
Fucking hell.
The downside was...
Yes, Cleon, you were man of the match.
Yeah, put this jacket on.
You oozed class.
And he thinks I'm fucking stupid. And then what else? The win today, just something that you can't handle this morning. If you're kicking a football in one direction from 50 yards and it changes direction in the air and then drops in the top corner and that happens three times, as a defender, I go... I can mark players, I cannot mark God.
Yeah.
There's
a
few people I can't mark. I can't mark him.
No.
He's controlling the wind.
Yeah.
It's all blowing in.
Yeah. He's just like this.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm really, really happy. I don't think this show might stretch it to the hour.
No, that's
because I might just fall forward and fall asleep.
Yeah.
Either failing that my right ankle will snap.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm achy for other reasons.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, not from playing football, just from standing still.
Oh, well, that's the best type of aching.
That's where I'm aching, because I've been to a couple of gigs over this last 7 days.
Oh, that's better. I thought you'd been around Glory Holes again.
No. I try and give that up. I mean, every now and then you slip back into old habits, but... No, it's fine.
Go on, gigs.
Yeah, I'm the one always standing. I'm not on my knees.
Yeah, that's why I said you've been standing round.
Because,
made that clear.
Only because my knees don't... Well, I can't squat for that long. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, not
Christ.
No more. Not since you're 20. You have to stand now. Anyway, gigs.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of gigs this week. So
you have?
It's been a bit of a weird week. So
I've been waiting to pick this bone with you.
I've had to swap some kind of days off and then have another day off and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. But on Wednesday, I went to Manchester to watch Mr. Big. Now, if you don't know who Mr. Big are, you'll know the track To Be With You.
Did they sing it?
But yeah, they did.
Yeah,
They fucking did. That's what they're most commonly known for. But like every kind of glam, they weren't really a glam. They were kind of a glam metal band. But like every glam metal band back in the day, they all had a ballad. Mm. They all had to have a ballad. Your album came out. You came out the gates with like a heavy rocking track, and then. Single number two was your ballad.
Yeah.
And that's the one that charted. For Extreme, it was More Than Words. For Skid Row, it was 18 and Life.
Mm-hmm.
What was Bon Jovi's first ballad? Did they have? Didn't really have one off Slippery
Bed of Roses.
Did they?
I'd say Bed of Roses.
Was Bed of Roses, what was that on? Keep the Faith?
I think, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it on Keep the Faith, Bed of Roses? Yeah. No.
Always was
I
on the greatest hits.
God, you give me one more chance. I'll be there
I'll
for
be
you.
I'll be there for you.
Sorry, I could not get that song to the front of frontal lobe.
Yeah, so they all had a ballad, didn't they? So they're all known for the ballads. But Mr. Big, they're you know, you got Paul Gilbert. They were a supergroup, technically. Eric Martin on vocals, Billy Sheehan on bass. Billy Sheehan and Paul Gilbert on guitar, just two of the best in their craft. You know, two of the best bass player and musicians in... bass player and guitarist, sorry, in the world. Pat Torpe on drums, who sadly passed away a few years ago. So they never really got round to doing like the farewell tour.
They're not going to, the drummer's dead.
Yeah, and that's but the drummer wasn't well, and they had a stand-in drummer, Nick, can't remember his surname, Nick something. He's very good though.
I'm surprised he's not Dave Grohl. He goes and he does
everything.
He's everywhere else.
All right, Dave. So what they wanted to do was like kind of, you know, close the book. They wanted to write that final chapter, do this farewell tour. So they went out on the road with the new drummer. And yeah, they've been touring the world basically to do this final show. And I've never seen them. When they came to the UK last time, I missed out. I just couldn't make it. They only did one gig in the UK. I think it was in Sheffield. And I just couldn't get to it. So I always said if they came round again, I'd go see them. So it was just like not last minute, but a pretty last minute decision where I just booked the ticket.
Yeah,
and dealt with the consequences. You know what I mean, it's like sure. Right, I'll deal with the logistics after. But I got a cheap travel lodge, so to stay over. It was the thing with Manchester and Stoke. If people don't know. The trains are like really good until about 9 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's game over.
And then they just stop. It's like you can't get home. There's a late like National Express, but you don't get home till half one in the morning. It's like fuck.
Yeah, because it goes via Edinburgh.
Yeah. It goes via Dublin. I thought I'd swap my shifts and I took the Wednesday off and got the cheap train up to Manchester, stay over,
yeah,
get the early train back and go work. Now, I was on the train. We got to Macclesfield, and there was a delay. The train stopped, and I was like, oh, the fuck's going on here? And then it took a couple of announcements, but eventually it was announced there was a fault further down the line. We're going to be stuck here for the foreseeable. They estimated about an hour and a half, just stuck in Mac. So I'm kind of glad that I did get that train because the three trains after it were cancelled.
Yeah.
Because you've got a train stuck in Macclesfield. Nobody can get through. It's like, turns out the stoplight, two stops up, the tracks had stopped working. I spoke to one of the guys who works.
So why was he stopped?
Yeah, just keep going on. I spoke to one of the guys like who works at Mac Station. I was like, what's going on? So he told me that one of the lights has gone out. He says, and you know, because the light's not working, we can't just let the trains through in case you're meant to be stopped. And I was like, yeah, I get that. Like,
I do. It's one line in.
Well, no, because they adjust the lines, don't they? So, you know, where they pull the lever and the track moves, so you go
on. I don't know how we survived before we got to technology.
So, they can't let the train through in case there is something on that line, either in front of you going the same way or coming back the other way or whatever. We were stuck there. But it set off a bit sooner than they said it would, which wasn't too bad. I got my £1.63 refund from Northern Rail as well. Yeah.
Nice of them.
Delay repay. I get to Manc and find my hotel, one that I've never stopped in before, completely forgetting that I'd upgraded the room. And it's a travel lodge, you know what I mean? I'm not...
Stop. What the hell did you upgrade your room to? The Holiday Inn Express?
Your travel lodge, right?
Yeah.
So the last time I stayed in a travel lodge, it's just a basic room. You get a bed,
You get that little weird small telly that you've got in travel lodges.
You get the TV that's tiny. Yeah. That, if the batteries work in the remote, you're lucky.
Yeah.
And you get a kettle. That's it. You know what I mean? There's no mod cons, right?
You got a robe as well, didn't you?
Right. So I completely forgot I'd upgraded the room because it wasn't that much more to upgrade the room. So you go in the room, right?
Yeah.
As I went in, I saw the thing that made me upgrade. Coffee machine. So you get a coffee machine with some coffee pods and you get your kettle, right?
Yeah.
With your tea bags and coffee sachets. And you get Galaxy hot chocolate and you get Kit Kats.
Oh, it's luxury there.
Luxury. So, you get a bigger TV.
And a bigger TV.
You get a bigger TV.
Fair enough. Because when you go in the normal rooms, it's like the tellies are on the wall and like tellies want to be stolen.
Yeah, it's like you've got your phone stuck to the wall. Just not like,
I can't see that.
I was really happy with my coffee machine. And the bed's bigger. And, yeah, it's just a bit more pleasurable for a travel lodge. But I tell you what, though, like in that one, it's just kind of on the outskirts of the centre. And from the outside, it's like shithole.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And you're just like, oh, God, this is going to be a bit grim. It's only one night. You go in, the staff, some of the fucking friendliest and nicest hotel staff that I've ever, like, witnessed. Dead nice. Dead accommodating. Like, really, just really nice people. The room was really nice, you know what I mean? It's like a bit of an extra effort had gone into cleaning it. It was just nice. It was just lovely, like, that nice atmosphere and whatnot. Comfy as well. Wicked night's gear. So, go down to the venue, watch the bands. It was ace. But with my dodgy knee and ankle on my right side, just standing in the same position for 2.5 hours, when I went walk out the venue, I was like, oh, hey up along over here. It took me fucking ages to get back to the hotel. It did. But yeah, I just had to get a bit of movement back into it. But Mr. Big were fucking brilliant. I mean, Eric Martin's voice isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
Same as John Bon Jovi, you know. Yeah, I mean? They're older.
They're old. Mm. You can't send somebody around the world, you can't send somebody globally touring the world for 40 years and go, the voice isn't what it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, his voice isn't what it used to be. They have to down-tune for some of the songs, but I think the tour had got on top of him as well because his voice was, like, shot.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't, like, he was all croaky and he just couldn't sing. It was quite sad to see, but he didn't take away from the gig because the band were perfect. They were so polished, so good. And the crowd, like the atmosphere in the venue was just electric. It was really good. He did his goddamn best, Eric Martin did. The drummer did a lot of heavy lifting. He had his own mic and he was singing like along with him. And they buried his vocals in the mix as well, so he got away with it.
So they played the backing over the top.
He got away with it, but it was a really good night, really good gig. Like I say, you know, it was a nice hotel and whatnot, but then back in work on the Thursday.
Mm.
So up, get the early train, get off at Stoke, jump on the bus up to Anley, bang, back into work. And it's easier to do that then get to Manchester later and have the next day off.
Yeah.
It's easier to go to Manchester earlier, get up early, come home and go work. But that threw me off for the week because I've swapped my days off.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think it's the day before or the day after. And then I thought Thursday was Friday was Saturday, Saturday was Sunday. And my head's all over the place. But we get to Saturday and then I'm back to Manchester again because my lad wanted to go and watch Dragon Force.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they haven't played Manchester for about 5-6 years, Dragon Force.
I swear that's a computer game.
The latest album is very video game inspired, let's say. And, so he wanted to go see Dragon Force. So we got him tickets and a hotel and everything for Christmas. And, we got him two tickets and, you can take whoever you want with you, mate. Got two tickets there. So he asked me to go with him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be sound. Now, Dragon Force is not my thing at all.
Yeah, I'm getting this.
I like a bit of power metal. I like some like German power metal or speed metal, but Dragon Force is not my thing. And they it was a co-headline tour with Amaranth, and they are also not my thing.
That's, are they a bit Judas Priest?
Dragon Force? No.
Okay, no, Jesus not. Christ.
So, yeah.
How about Hell No then, Dave?
Yeah. co-headlining with Amaranth. Amaranth are Swedish. It's that, like, symphonic, techno-metal kind of thing. Loads of synthesizers.
Yeah.
A bit operatic. Three singers. Normal dude singer, normal chick singer, and then a growly dude singer. And once again, not my thing at all. I didn't know who the opening act was till we got there. It's this band called Infected Rain. They're from Moldova, which I just didn't expect.
I love the name.
And
Infected.
Infected Rain. Yeah, this band from Moldova. And they were really good. Once again, though, not my normal thing. Like, I don't think I'd buy the CDs or anything like that. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I probably wouldn't stream them or anything. Just, it's not my thing. But I have never known the opening band of a tour to control the crowd the way they did.
Hmm.
They came out and it was just like they had the crowd in the palm of their hands. I mean, the singer, she was brilliant. There was a wall of death. Granted, it was the lamest wall of death I've ever seen, but there was a wall of death, there were circle pits, everything was going on.
Fucking coordinating everyone, and, was she?
Yeah, she brilliant. And the performance they put on was amazing. The lighting show was great. Yeah, just really, really good. And then Dragon Force, it was a co-headline thing, so for the first three dates, Dragon Force headlined. And then Manchester, and they're in London tonight, I think. Amaranth headline. So Dragon Force come out next. They've got this full like LED stage show thing going on. So they've got two massive LED screens playing stuff. The drummer's bass drums have got LED screens in them. And then they've got huge replica arcade games with LEDs and playing like arcade games with ladders up the back so the guitarist or anybody can go and stand on top of them and show off. Two massive inflatable dragons come out at one point.
That's amazing.
It was a proper stage show. Lasers, fucking fire, everything going on.
But you are like, rah! Like, you get none of this Christ at the underground.
And once again, not my cup of tea, but the performance they put on, it was like, fuck, that was really good. Yeah. So good to watch. And Amaranth were the same. Just like a really good performance. No, not necessarily any frills or anything like, no props. A good lighting show, but no props. Just like three, four, five, six of them on stage, just doing what they do and completely owning it. Like the crowd were just well into it. They were so polished. Like everything sounded great. And the thing about the Manchester Academy as well is the sound in there is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It's really good. I mean, the sound in the Ritz is good, but the Academy have just got it fucking down. I've never seen a bad band in there.
They should have it down though, shouldn't they now?
It's fucking ace. I mean, where was it?
It's a great venue. I haven't seen anything go wrong in there.
I don't remember the first time I went to the Academy. I remember going to the Academy 2 to watch the Vines.
Yeah.
Before it was called the Academy 2, it was still like Manchester University Students Union.
I think the first gig I went watch there was...
Oh, The Darkness. Yeah.
When they first came out,
before
they released Christmas and went cheesy, I got really early on the train of Kasabian.
Kasabian, yeah.
Kasabian.
Remember you're watching.
Ked Spiat is a Newcastle football player. I was really early on the train of Kasabian and really early on the train of The Darkness due to the people who I was hanging around with at the time.
Yeah.
And I got to see Kasabian in the...
You saw them at the Mill, didn't you?
At the Mill. Yeah. On the weekend, they went number one in the album charts because Radio 1 came out on live on stage and said, you're number one in the album charts today, blah, blah, blah. And it was a gig against racism. Okay. That's what it was. It was a Kasabian gig. I didn't even know it was a gig against racism or anything. But that was the day their first album went number one in the UK charts, and they were in Stoke-on-Trent for that.
Yeah.
I saw them and I saw Darkness at the Academy, and the Darkness were absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's a band I've never seen live.
Really good live.
They played the Vicky Hall last year, and I'm like, why didn't I go?
Yeah, we should have gone that.
Should have gone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we should have gone.
But yeah, the whole like week, you know, two gigs in the space of a couple of days, two hotels. It's been fun. And you know, it's my lad's like second proper gig. His first was Kiss at the Manchester Arena. Oh. You know what I mean? And I was trying to explain to him like the Academy, whatever you saw and felt and learnt and remember from the Manchester Arena watching Kiss, throw all that in the bin.
Yeah.
Because the Academy is completely different.
Yeah.
You're going to get squashed.
Oh,
You're going to be standing amongst big old sweaty men.
Yeah.
And you're going to get squashed.
Yeah.
And he fucking loved it. He had such a good night. And when the circle pits were opening up, I'm like, go on, get in there. Get in the fucking circle pit. He's like, no. And I'm like, mate, if this was 20 years ago, I'd have been in the fucking middle.
Can you imagine if I would have come that? Get in there. No. Cleon? Woohoo! Yeah.
Honestly, like the pits.
I got punched in the forehead in a mosh once.
That's ridiculous.
Like, in the forehead. I was one, annoyed, and two, peed off. And the reason I was peed off is because I was like, what the f-? And I had a full-on argument with a lad because he punched me in the forehead. And he was moaning because his hand was completely toast.
Was he doing that thing where they swing the fucking arms out and do these punches?
No.
Or did he just punch you in the
head?
No,
he went, raw, and went, and then went, ah! And I was like, you know in Fight Club where he gets punched in the ear?
Yeah, yeah. Who punches in the ear?
It was a bit like that. I was like, who punches on the forehead, dude?
I was happy to see that circle pit etiquette is still a thing as well, because it had only been going for about 2 seconds and somebody hit the deck straight away.
Yeah, straight off.
And like the two people behind him just like scooped him up, picked him up, rubbed his hair like that, and then pushed him, get him on his way. It was like
towards the bar or back in, one or the other.
Etiquette still there. The best thing though was there was this little lad. He must have been no older than 5. He was a little lad, and he was on his dad's shoulders, and he had his ear defenders on, and his devil horns did not come down for the whole fucking thing.
That's brilliant.
He was in the circle pits, like he wanted to go in them with his dad. So his dad's holding on to him for grim death. He's holding on to his dad's head with one arm, and then like bloody devil horns up with the other one, and they're running around in this pit and they're bouncing off people, and like everybody in the pit's like high-fiving this kid on the way past. He's loving life. The singer from the first band saw him and like shouted out to him, and then at the end of the set she peeled off the set list off the floor and said, pass that back, make sure it gets to that little boy, that's his. So everybody's like passing this set list back through the crowd till it gets back to him. It was fucking brilliant.
I do love that about rock shows. In rock shows, there is quite a lot of like camaraderie and thoughtfulness in it. And I do like that.
Yeah. I've never known any grief or bad atmospheres at metal gigs. Never.
Never at a metal gig.
Never at a metal gig. I've known it. Fucking Supergrass of all bands.
Yeah.
It was kicking off. The Blue Tones, when I went to see them, it was kicking off.
Zootons like, kicked off.
It's the indie crowd.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, when you get a lot of like Oasis tribute bands and stuff, they're generally an 18 plus. It's an 18 plus night, where most bands, like, it's 14 plus. But anything like that, it's generally an 18 plus night because it's going to kick off.
In the sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But like metal gigs and stuff, I've never known it. It's everybody's super fucking chill.
Mm.
Like, but yeah, no, wacky night. I tell you what I did do though. I fucking tried check into the wrong hotel.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought I'd booked. I thought I'd booked an hotel on Portland Street, and I'm trying to check in, and it's like, can't check in. So I go over to the counter. Hey mate, I can't. The self check-in isn't working. And he went, can I just see your reference number? I was like, yeah, I showed him my phone. He went, that's not us. I went, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, go out the doors, go around the corner, you see a pharmacy, turn left at the pharmacy, and then you'll see the hotel where you meant me. He says, literally 2 seconds away. It's like 2 second walk that way. I'm like, okay, that's on me. That's my bad. So then go and find the right fucking hotel, check in there. But, I mean, this, not to get too graphic, but we had a McDonald's before we went to the show. It was sold out, and I've never seen a queue for the Academy like that at all.
About McDonald's,
No. The gig was sold out. I've never seen a queue like that for the Academy. We were in it for about 40 minutes before we got into the venue. And first band had played, Dragon Force come on, I'm two tracks in. And you know when you get that feeling in your stomach, like somebody's put their hands in and they're wringing your intestines out?
Yeah.
That happened. And I just went, oh, no. Because I know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, okay, let's see if I can... Oh, my God, it's got low it, and that really hurts.
Dirty glasses.
And I'm just like, put my hand on Adam's shoulder, like, mate, I just need go the loo. I'll find you. How are you fucking finding him? There's 2,600 people in there. We're quite near the front. I had to fight my way out of the place, get in the toilet. Jesus, Cleon. I don't know what the fuck they've done to that McDonald's. But
it'll be the part we... Had you had a pint by then?
No, I wasn't drinking.
Oh.
I wasn't drinking. I think
not the glasses then.
I think the Maccas went through me. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, fuck me. It was like turning a fucking shower on.
Been in a production bin for too long.
Gone. So I texted him from the back. I was like, dude, I'm just going to stand back here for 10 minutes.
Just so you know.
But yeah, I was fine after that. It was once, and then I was fine. And I just fought my way back through, and job was a winner. But I'm like, of all the fucking times for it to happen, I'm 2/3 of the way into the Academy, and everybody is arm to arm, chest to back. It's like you couldn't move in there. And I'm like, excuse me, squeezing through, sorry. Can I just get through? Cheers, thank you, sorry. Like, being all terribly English about the whole thing.
Excuse me, old boy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just need to evacuate all my assets.
But on. Yeah, fucking ace couple of gigs. Like, really enjoyed it. I did not expect anything from last night at all. And I came out going, that was really fucking good. And, you know, I put a couple of the tracks on from the bands on Spotify and went, nope, still not for me. But
you tried.
But as a live performance, like if they came round here, if they played like Vicky Hall or... I mean, the mill's too small, but if you play like Vicky Hall, then, you know, I'd go, yeah, it's worth going. It's worth going and watching them. Like, it's a fun gig.
It sounds a fun gig, especially with all the AV bits and bobs going on.
Yeah, it was brilliant, man. It's brilliant. But yeah, that was my week.
Fair one.
Predominantly the bulk of my week.
Well, I've just been doing pretty much, I've just been doing me, to be honest with you. I've been doing more swimming. Than I've ever done before. I've been doing more gym work than I've ever done before, and at this moment in time, I've done more football. I'm doing roughly this. I'm getting back into the same football pattern. I kind of forgot the god that I am. Something I forgot to say at the beginning. Podcast world, acknowledge me. And I kind of got lost somewhere on, went left at the light somewhere, so I'm just catching up a little bit.
Yeah. Well done, you.
Yeah, just catching up on my bad self.
Catching up with myself. Yeah. Sorting my shit out.
Learning how to play the guitar, which is a slow process.
But there's no rush.
There is a rush. Oh. I've set myself a target. And the reason I set myself targets is because if I don't set myself targets, I will do something like there's no rush. And what I mean is... that's enough for today. I am more lazy than any lazy person you will ever meet down the lazy river. I have to
I get that.
Set myself a target. I've set myself a target of 1 month. I'm practicing 1 hour a day, every single day, again starting tomorrow. I've had 2 days off since Friday because I just, in the greatest respects, I've never fallen out with an instrument before. No, I'm serious.
I know what you mean. That's why I'm laughing.
I
know exactly what you mean.
I have never fallen out with an instrument. I walked in the man cave, listeners. and Dave had his guitar, I could have thrown it out the window. Seriously, I'm not even...
I'm trying to get movement back in my fingers
there's
for
nothing,
next week.
I have never taken up something outside of golf that... It's not that it amazes me. That's the wrong word for it. It's not that it piques my curiosity. It's something I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate not being able to do something. Yeah. I like to pick something up and go... So my imagination went like this. I'm going to buy a guitar and plug it in the MacBook Pro. I'm going to give it 3 or 4 days and I'll be like the ghost of fucking Hendrix. That was my imagination. So, yeah, I'm not enjoying it, it's annoying me.
Just so you're aware, that never goes away. It never goes away. You can get really good on the guitar and something will come along where you can't play it. And you might like play it once and go, fuck, yeah, okay, I've done it. And then you might play it again and just completely mess up. And it's so frustrating when you just completely mess it up. One of the worst things is when it's, like, for me, when it's something you've wrote, like...
Yeah.
And when if I've written something and then I go to record it and I just can't play it, I'm just like, I'm playing it, and then you mess up and you're like, fuck, so you have to stop the recording, go back, start again, da-da-da-da, and you mess up again. And then you go, okay, right. Maybe do it in bits, do it in sections.
So my biggest issue is just switching to different chords.
Yeah.
In speed.
Yeah.
And then changing your rhythm on your right hand.
Yeah.
And that's just my issue. And I've found that I can look at my fingers and I know where they should be. And I go, you're right there, index. You're right there, ring finger. How are you doing, middle finger? How are you doing? Do you fancy dropping down the next two notes? You know, as you're holding. Do you fancy dropping? Just drop down to. Just drop down to. Just one. And they go, no. And then I drop down and go too far. And then miss complete and completely cock all the notes up. Yeah. It's the most frustrating but enjoyable time I've had with in a very, very long time. I do enjoy. I haven't learnt enough new stuff in the best part of too long now.
Yeah.
And I am enjoying onboarding a new skill. So, yeah.
And you'll get there with it. With some persistence, you know, you'll get there. My main problem was practice, you know what I mean? I got to a certain level and then stopped practicing.
Yeah.
Like, so I kind of got stuck at that level. And it was fun for me when I was in the cover band, Duplicity, because I was playing bass. And, you know, I wasn't overly proficient on bass, but knowing guitar and knowing guitar and knowing my scales and things like that, I could kind of work my way around it. But then when it came to, because we were a cover band, learning the songs properly, sitting down and learning them, it was like, oh god, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. And it was like back to basics, practice again, practice, 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 until you've got it. And then eventually your muscle memory just kicks in and it's like, right, what song next? Bang. Mm. You hit the first note and then your muscle memory just knows where you've got to go next. And that's the way your body will get used to it eventually.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You'll be playing your chords and muscle memory will just kick in. You'll know from a D to a G, you're going there to there, a C to an F. You'll just know which way your fingers and your hand and stuff's got to go to get that chord.
The thing is, I thought I'd walk to that dead quick, but this is the level I'm actually at. Well done. You played that note.
Yeah.
That was the D. Congratulations. Yeah. And you're like, oh, and yeah,
I mean, I can't.
I think I sent you a message with two notes on it, and I was like, at that point, I could have smashed my guitar up.
I don't know the way that guitar tutors go about teaching beginners, because I was self-taught at first. So whether they start with notes or scales or things like that. I just jumped in with chords. And like I say, I told you last week, you know, I had the chord book and it was What's the Story, Morning Glory? And it's like, I know how the song goes. I've heard Noel Gallagher play it acoustic. So I'm just going to try and do that. And there's my chord boxes. Okay, where my fingers go? There. Okay, E minor, G. Okay, yeah, sound. And you kind of learn them chord positions and then try and play it. And then just keep, I just kept doing it until I'd got it. Mm. It was like all fucking day. Just keep doing it till I've got it. And it sounded dreadful, but I'd got it. You know what I mean? I knew where my hands had to be. It was the right hand that was doing me no favours because I was moving my whole fucking arm. I was going from my shoulder like, playing like this. And it's the wrist. But a lot of people, when they first try play guitar, they think you move from your elbow.
No.
And you don't. It's your wrist. It's all in your wrist. So I just started with chords and learning chords on an acoustic guitar, learning how to play
chord book
songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning how to play songs acoustically. You know what I mean? Oasis songs, Blur. I did some Michael Jackson stuff, which is a lot trickier than I thought it was going to be. The Beatles. I mean, I've got Beatles chord books. I bought fucking loads of them.
Mm.
They all got the same songs in, but I'm like, oh, another Beatles chord book, I'll get that. I've already got the fucking songs. But yeah, just learning these songs and learning the chords. And then chords eventually led to scales, learning like solos and learning these, like, you know, your pentatonic scales, which is like the easiest one that you'll learn. And it's the one that a lot of bands use for guitar solos.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like I say, I got to a point where I just stopped practicing and I was kind of stuck at that level of playing.
So, you know, I've been asked to do Stars in Your Eyes on the 19th of April.
Mm.
I'm thinking about playing strong on my guitar.
Ooh, that's a target. Oof.
Yeah.
That's a 19th of April.
And the thing is, I know that song.
Yeah.
Like, I know that song.
3 weeks.
Mm. It's a talk. You could do it.
Yeah, do it. If you take a look at the song, you're thinking it's more complicated than what it is.
Take a look at it. It isn't.
Yeah, you could...
You could do that for 3 weeks.
You could definitely get there in 3 weeks, but it's not the...
Do you know what else I've noticed with the guitar and then try and sing?
That your mouth wants to do the same thing that your arm's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the rhythm thing.
It doesn't want to say the words. What it wants to say is the notes that I've... So Smoke on the Water, 0-3-5, do you get where I'm coming from? I regurgitate that coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's also something that takes a lot of getting used to. Like, you get there, but at first, my mouth wanted to do what my arm was doing. So whatever, if like with Morning Glory, all your dreams
you
are made.
Just tilted your
guitar
there.
All your dreams are made. If I'm going, all your dreams are made. My arm's going, gin, 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 gin. It's doing the same thing, and it's breaking that rhythm.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, I dabbled on the drums for a bit, and like your left leg wants to do what your left arm's doing. Your right leg wants to do what your right arm's doing. And to break, you've got to try and break that pattern so you can put them extra bass drum notes in. And it's tricky to get used to. Once you can do it, then it's like a piece of piss. You know what I mean? But it's just breaking that thing of like all your limbs doing different things at different times. Yeah. I've just pulled the chords up to strong. If you're going to start with any Robbie Williams song, that's probably the easiest.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's like a set of chords: D, G, E minor, A. It's a set of chords that, like.
You all live in the same neighbourhood.
Yeah, and it's the chords where you buy them books like play 100 songs with these four easy chords. Yeah. They're the chords.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And they are, it's the Morning Glory chords. It's the...
They're just in a different order.
It's the Wonderwall chords. They're just in different orders.
It's Robbie's second album.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
But you've got to practice.
Oh, I'll practice that. I'll practice that. I'm starting the Stars and Their Eyes stuff tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's when I'm just doing the song over and over and over and over again, and then just doing the playing separately.
Hmm. Well, good luck with that. Yeah, I mean that.
He's like, good luck with that, mate. I'll come watch. Like a car crash.
Worst case scenario, I'm playing guitar for you, aren't I?
Yeah. If I shit myself on stage, you might have to just stand there pretending to play the guitar all turned on, and then the moment I go, mayday. And you know, Dave, take over. I can't. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, football.
That wasn't a thing this weekend, was
it? Was a thing.
It was just all international friendlies.
England played yesterday, Dave.
Yeah.
Our wonderful football team.
I was too busy watching symphonic Norwegian metal.
Norwegian,
Scandinavian metal.
Who, for some reason, seemed to have annoyed every single person on planet Earth by having a different colour flag on the back of the shirt. I'll be honest with you, to the people of England, we have bigger things to fucking worry about. If we wanted to put the nation on the back of the shirt that majority of our players should be playing for, we'd have a bunch of African countries on the back of the shirt.
This isn't the first time they've done it either.
No!
It's been done a million times before.
I don't get the problem.
It's been done in football, it's been done in rugby, it's been done everywhere, in everything, and nobody seems to have cared until now.
No one gives a toss.
Like...
Oh, you're messing with our flag. This is... what have we had today across social media, Dave? You would have seen it. Oh, this is the St. George's flag, not mine. This is the England flag, not mine. Hang on a minute. Our country, we have sodomited this wonderful country that we live in. I'll be brutal with everybody who's listening. Do you live in England? Yeah, oh, you're big English person, are you? Blah, blah, blah. Church of England, yeah. When was the last time you went to church? When was the last time you went to church? Simples. When was the last time you voted? Instead of worrying about what shirt or what design that, let's be honest, an American company has done for our football club, let's stop sitting on a device that's made in China, funded by the Saudis, moaning about how English it is in this country over a shirt that's made by a sweatshop in India that's owned by the Americans.
Mm.
If we're that concerned about losing our fucking Englishness, why don't we put it with an English company? Boom. Pastore. Put it with an English company. Boom. Done. You don't want to because they're bad at making strips. Because they're that underfunded because England are so far in bed with Nike.
Do you know what annoyed the thing that annoyed me the most about it?
What?
The fucking price.
What? It's about 100 quid for an England shirt now, matey. No one buys England shirts. Everyone buys the copies.
Yeah, they've got two this year. So you've got your authentic.
Your rip-off.
Which is... your authentic, which is $129.99.
Yeah.
And then you've got your stadium version. I think they're trying to do like an American like basketball jersey thing. So you got your authentic and then you've got your stadium. Your stadium's like 80 quid. It's like, fuck me, man. When was that? When did that become a thing?
Do you know, the moment that became a thing, the North buy copies. I haven't bought an England shirt. I'll tell you now, whoever the copy police are, I haven't bought an England shirt in the past 5 years. And I also know 100% of all my friends who've all got kids, they haven't needed it.
Mm. The last one I bought...
I'm not surprised it's 100 quid. No bookers buying it.
No, really, man. The last one I bought, I went out to get like the latest shirt, and while I was in, I think it might have been Sports Direct, while I was in there, they had fucking Paul Gascoigne Italia 90 jerseys for 20 quid. Which one am I buying, Cleon?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting that Italia 90 jersey. It was fucking ace.
Exactly. But you shouldn't noticed, because it's a Sports Direct when they've made it up.
And I noticed... I noticed that a lot of people did the same thing as well. Because that one year, everybody was in Italian 90, Euro 96, the 1966 replica red jersey. Everybody was just wearing these old replica ones. And I didn't see anybody in a new strip.
I just don't see the point. Why would... This is supposed to be a family sport. Soon it's going to become an elitist sport. This has gone from being a working class sport to moving into more of your elitist sports. Yeah? Just my opinion. A bit like Taylor Swift. She's an elitist person. Do you know why I say that?
Go on.
I wanted to take my daughter to a Tay-Tay concert. How much was the tickets?
£1 million.
How much was the tickets for a Tay-Tay concert? One adult, one child.
800.
You're just under. Wow. 879 quid. That's pathetic. Who the fuck has paid 879 quid for a ticket to go watch Tay-Tay?
I've got another one with Taylor Swift as well. So she's got a new album coming out next month.
Yeah.
It's on the 19th of April it comes out.
Okay.
Right. So we, at the shop, we got our pre-sale info about it. So not the order form, just the pre-sale info where you get all your graphics for your webpage.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get like your dealer price on it. Like, so now for us to buy that record in on the vinyl, for us to buy the vinyl in, there's a, I can't remember exactly what they call it. It's something like a, there's an indie exclusive, so only exclusive to indie stores and HMV this time as well. So an indie and HMV store exclusive. It's something like Pearl Clear or something like, I can't remember what the fuck it's called. It's this clear vinyl, right? Now, for us to buy that into the shop, it's going to cost us 27 quid.
Right? What did you sell it for?
So to make the markup, well, if you go on, like any of the, because we don't do pre-sales, we don't do pre-orders. But if you go on any of the websites like HMV, Piccadilly Records, Rough Trade, they'll have their prices on. And their markup is pretty much similar to ours. So HMV have got it on at $44.99 to buy the record, right? Mm. Which means they must have a bit of a dealer discount because that markup just doesn't, $27 to $44.99, it just doesn't add up. So there must be a bit of a dealer discount on it, so it might end up being a little bit cheaper. But yeah, $44.99, right, for this indie exclusive or HMV exclusive record. Mm. If you go to Taylor Swift's UK web store, right, you can get that very record. They haven't even changed the name of it. It's called the same thing, the variant, that Pearl Clear or whatever it is. It's there in fucking, it's meant to be an indie store exclusive, right? You can get that, you can pre-order that right now on her website for $33.99.
Right, you just ask her on Twitter then.
$33.99. £7 more than what it's costing independent record stores to buy that record in. How in God's great earth are you meant to compete with that?
I don't know, matey. She wanted me to spend 800 odd quid on a bloody ticket.
It's mental. Considering she
I nearly did it.
Considering a couple of years back she was the Record Store Day ambassador, which is meant to be promoting independent record stores, and now, like the record label, not her personally, but the record label.
It is her personally. Just, she's a solo artist, mate.
The record company, her, whatever, are now undercutting all the record stores. Mm. It's crazy. You can't compete with that price. You can't do it. You know what I mean? We would, if we had to sell it for that price, we wouldn't buy it in. It's just fucking pointless.
We'd be losing money.
We wouldn't buy it in. No point whatsoever. And now we're contemplating, considering she's the biggest artist in the world, we're contemplating just not ordering it in and just not getting it. It's pointless.
I don't suppose you get many Taylor Swift fans into, do you? Well, is there a draw? Does she draw people out into the
especially on Record Store. Whenever she's got a release on Record Store Day, like that, you're going to do really well with it. You know, last year she had
Did she have many people coming in for Tay-Tay?
Well, we sold out of the last release.
Yeah?
The 1989 Taylor's version, yeah.
That's
yeah.
A good album, though. It's a good
album. I mean, 1989 was a good album anyway, and Taylor's version, like, I mean, it's exactly the fucking same. She just re-recorded the album, so she owns the master.
Yeah, she didn't own the master originally, yeah. Did she? So she re-recorded the entire thing, yeah, yeah.
So she's all the Taylor's versions where she just re-recorded the album, so she owns their masters, which is fucking genius. It's a good album. And, you know, we had indie exclusive vinyl, we had the standard vinyl, we had the CDs, and it wasn't an instant sellout in the shop, but it sold out. You know, we got rid of them all. So, there is a market for it. And even with a shop like ours, we're not known for the pop music side of things, you know what I mean? But the more you buy in, the more you'll build up that reputation. So if people know they can come to us and get a Taylor Swift record, or they can get an Ed Sheeran record or whatever, like a Lewis Capaldi record, then...
Sorry you said that, weird ginger guy.
Yeah, then they'll come and get it, you know what I mean? But they're not going to come and get it at that price if they can just order it off her website for $33.99.
Yeah, it'd be a couple of days.
Fucking ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's undercut. Anyway, England lost one.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? They did. Was it like second half goal, 60th minute, something like that?
It's the most boring match I've watched in ages. I actually watched that match. It was the second half, 80th minute, Endry, wee guy, 17 years old, being bought for Real Madrid for God's amounts of money. They lost 1-0 yesterday. Gordon was crap, Bellingham was crap, Rice was crap, Konsa was crap, Maynou was crap, Watkins was crap, Bowen was crap, Pickford was crap, Maguire was crap, Foden was crap, Walker was crap, Stones was crap, Rashford, Gallagher were all crap. So yeah, it was just three shots on target in a whole game of football. 14 shots, three of them on target.
Was that between both teams?
No, that's just England.
Right, okay.
14 shots, three on target.
Wow.
53% possession. I just hate international football. I think it's crap. I don't think international football is very good.
Mm.
I don't. I think it's boring.
When's the...
just heading and kicking.
When's the Euros?
At the end of this football season, I think. Probably.
Yeah.
I'll have a few beers, I'll watch it. I think England will win it, but the problem is we never go for the win. We go for the, let's try and get through one penalties and stutter. My opinion is we should be running at full force. We should play Grealish on the left, Foden in the middle, Saka on the right, Kane up front, and just play Bellingham and Rice in the middle. Fuck it. An attack.
Yeah.
And just score.
Just go down swinging.
Just score more goals in the away. That midfield I've just give you is the best part. It's probably around £500 million on paper.
Mm.
And it's the best midfield in Europe at this moment in time. Yeah. Play it.
Play it.
Stop playing Jordan Henderson. We don't need... Let him fucking retire in peace. Stop. I know how Jordan Henderson's pulled out of the England team this time with an injury.
Right.
I think he just can't be bothered face it. Because the entire country's gone, oh, why the fuck have we asked him again? Why is he here? Why is he here? And I think he turned up at England training and one of the England players was like, oh, for fuck. Really? And he just went, I'm injured, don't worry about it. I'm going to go back Ajax now.
Gareth! Jordan's here again!
He's the only player who actively was crap in the Saudi League.
Mm.
I don't know. I could play in the Saudi League.
It is one of them things, isn't it? Like, I mean,
football.
I've seen some highlights and whatnot, and it's
I would ooze class.
Fucking hell. It's a bit shocking, isn't it?
I would ooze class in the Saudi League. Yeah, no, I could play Saudi League. And I'm 100%. And then today, we've had our Eccleshall ladies, and they've been out and won 3-0 at home against All Scots Heath. Ladies team with goals from Katie Booth, Chelsea, and Kira Wildig. Really good game today. Enjoyed it massively.
Cool.
Enjoyed it.
No, that's good.
And then last night, I'm not going to put any spoilers, but I went to watch Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
You messaged me,
And
they've got a fucking huge billboard in Manchester.
I sat there, I'll be honest, I was going to try your like not talk about it and everything else. I'm not going to spoil it. But I sat there, I looked across at my son, and he was sitting, leaning forward.
Yeah.
And do you know why I saw him like this?
Come.
Because I'm leaning forward.
Because you're doing it as well.
And if you would have taken a picture, I know this was my face.
Mm-hmm.
It starts straight away. There's no, oh, we need to get New York and It starts.
Just there.
Already, yeah, let's go. Let's, straight on the ground. Boom. We're out the door. Straight in. Brilliant. Cameos from the old cast all the way through the movie.
Yeah.
Not just at the end. Really good. A real good family movie. Let's do another. Let's do the third one now.
Yeah, let's do the third
and one. Wrap it up and have Pete Vateman in from the beginning. I don't want Bill Murray popping in all the time. I want him in the movie.
Just in, just there.
Yeah, just watch.
Just there, mate.
Just
there.
Sit there and shut up. And this Paul Rudd guy, F him off. He looks like he's had way too much Botox now.
Oh, not fourth man Paul Rudd.
Sorry, mate. Paul Rudd is not that vampire he used to be. Age's caught up with him.
Yeah, okay. How old is he now, Paul?
He's got to be 94.
54?
Fucking 54, my arse.
54, yes.
He's never been 54. You got a full head of brown, black hair in Ghostbusters. Who are you? I'm your dad. I'm your mum's... The mum with grey hair. And he's there. Full-on Elvis Presley, early Elvis.
Big quiff going on.
Yeah, big
Loving
quiff.
Life. Yeah. Pearly white.
I said to Jamie, I said, is Rudd rocking a wig there?
What the fuck was I going to say? Just Paul, yeah, Paul Rudd, you reminded me when you said Paul Rudd. Just sidetracking, we got back to the hotel last night. Age of Ultron was on.
Yeah.
It was like, what a way to end the night that was. Like,
yeah.
I got a big bag of nice and spicy knickknacks watching him.
Name me three other Paul Rudd movies then outside of Avengers.
Well,
and you're not allowed to say Ghostbusters. I'm watching you.
Yeah. So you've got of the obvious, like Ant-Man.
No, that's Marvel's. No, I said no Marvel, no Avengers.
Name yeah, three. You did, didn't you? Sorry.
No Marvel, no Avengers. Name me three.
Anchorman. Yeah, he's in Anchorman.
You can't have Anchorman 2.
He's in 40-Year-Old Virgin with... there's a point to this. There is a point to this. I'm going to stop at them two because he's not. He's like fourth. I've always said he's fourth man. Fourth man, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
He's never the main guy. He's never the second guy. You know what I mean?
He's like fourth.
He's fourth man, Paul Rudd. And don't get me wrong, especially in Anchorman, he plays
Anchorman
really fucking well. You know what I mean?
Anchorman's amazing. I'm not.
He plays fourth man Paul Rudd really well. So when it came to Ant-Man, it was like, who's Ant-Man? Paul Rudd?
Yeah.
He's not a leading character.
But
why?
Neither was Ant-Man.
But
I can tell you why he was in Ant-Man.
But it worked.
Do you want to tell you why he was in Ant-Man?
Go on.
Because Michael Douglas was in that as well.
Oh, okay.
And he would have swallowed up the majority of that budget with his wages.
Yeah, so they had to get Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Let's not mess around. Let's speak honest. As you see Michael, you go, why is Paul Rudd Ant-Man? And then Michael Douglas walks around the corner. You go, well, I figured that out.
Yeah. Who's that? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer.
She must have took up some.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's Paul Rudd and whoever this wasp person is. Explain.
Evangeline Lilly.
But yeah, Ghostbusters, the one thing that I loved about Ghostbusters, I've watched that movie, Ghostbusters 1 and 2, but when I say I've watched it, if you put it on now, I can get in the deep cuts of the Easter eggs that are in it, and I can also speak with the characters throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Songs, backing words, and everything else that someone says, I've got the whole thing down. And the one thing I loved about Frozen Empire, and they didn't do it so much in the one before this, was how many references to other Ghostbuster movies were in it.
Right.
Really good. The amount...
It wasn't too much, was it?
The amount of Easter eggs in it were really clever.
Because I found with Jurassic World, it kept on going back to Jurassic Park, you just got too much.
I'll give you one instance of an Easter egg.
Go on.
Right, and it just doesn't ruin the movie or anything for you. So there's a place that's buying weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he buys something that's weird.
Yeah.
And he has to put it on a desk with other weird stuff. Mm-hmm. So he just puts it on the desk and they walk out. On the desk is, you know, the Sanderson sisters, Hocus Pocus?
Yeah.
There's the book, you know, the eye.
Oh, yeah.
They've got the book on the desk.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Loads of, like, little references of things and touch points like that. Really, really good. Yeah, really good. It's quite Top Gunny as well.
It's definitely on my list of Easter holidays.
I'll go watch it again.
It's Easter holidays now, isn't it? So I did say to Biggin, like, we should go to the cinema and watch that. Mm. Make an effort to go to the cinema
really,
and watch it. Like.
Really, really, really. If you love Ghostbusters, you will love that movie.
I was going to watch the Elvis film, the Baz Luhrmann Elvis film this week.
Good.
My manager said he'd watched it, and he said it was fucking brilliant. He said he didn't expect it to be that good, and it was brilliant. Mm. Now, I've got Virgin Media, as you know, and I've got the Sky Cinema package and everything, so I was like, I'll watch it on Sky Cinema, like, I'll get it up. And I'd completely forgotten how fucking awful the TV series seasons, but movies on demand on my Virgin box, for some reason, don't like playing. And I remember, so when did when did King Kong come? You know the King Kong, like the Godzilla Kong movies, like?
Which one, Kong or?
The first one.
Ages ago. The Tom Holland, Tom Huddleston.
Tom Hiddleston.
Hiddleston? Huddleston?
I can't remember which one it was.
Which Tom is it that plays Loki?
Hiddleston.
Is it Hiddleston? Huddleston's a bloody Man United player.
Yeah, so but the Kong movie that's part of the Godzilla Kong, the one that's happening now, like, I remember ordering that on, like, box office kind of thing on demand, and all it did was jitter and fucking buffer for the whole thing, right? And, you know, it wasn't the broadband, it wasn't the Wi-Fi or anything like that, because everything else works. You know, YouTube works, fucking Amazon Prime works, Netflix works, Sky Go worked. But for some reason, the Virgin On Demand thing doesn't work. And
does it keep buffering?
Yeah. Not so much.
It's like on the thing on the bottom.
So you'll press play on a film. So I got, like, the Sky Cinema On Demand thing up. I found Elvis. I pressed play. And it was just like frozen screen. But sometimes the audio would carry on going and the screen wouldn't move, and then the screen would catch up, and then it'd start, like, getting a bit jittery, and then it'd pause. And I was like, fuck, I thought they would have fixed this by now. It's been however many years.
You haven't got enough. You haven't got a stable enough connection.
Well, one of the things it is with it, and they did recommend not doing this. They recommended not doing this, but my router is in the cave and the box is in the other room, but it's kind of buried, you know what I mean? And I know I've got these TP-Link bloody Nest things going around the house, but the box is kind of buried. And the guy who installed it at the time, and this broadband wasn't as good when it was installed, but he did say, look, we can connect it wirelessly. It's better to do it wired. He says you might struggle with some of your on-demand stuff because it's like your box is a bit buried down here. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. But even through that box, if I'm using Netflix through the Virgin box or YouTube through the Virgin box or anything else on demand through the Virgin box, it's fine. It's just Sky Cinema.
It might be then because you're having to rent,
it's weird.
Stream,
yeah.
Play.
So
it might be, you don't know.
So what I've done, I just searched it on the TV. It's not TiVo anymore, fucking hell. Is it TiVo? It is TiVo.
It is TiVo, yeah.
Yeah. I just searched for it, and they're showing it on bloody Bank Holiday Monday. Yeah. I've just set it to record. I can wait, it's fine. There's a million other things.
It's a good movie. Hanks is good in that.
Yeah, I've heard he does a really good Elvis. Like,
manage
it. It's a joke.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
something my boss said to me, he was like, it's one thing I couldn't understand when you've got an actor like Austin Butler, is why did they have Tom Hanks playing Elvis? for a split second you're like, huh? Oh, yeah, I get what you're doing. You're winding me up, aren't you? But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to watching that. Now I've been told it's wicked. I've also got What's that Brad Pitt one on the train? Bullet Train.
Bullet Train.
Yeah, I've got Bullet Train lined up to watch as well. Which I'll
don't get... try read me. I'm trying to do poker face yeah, right now because yeah, I've seen the movie.
Fucking your poker face is awful.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
What did my face tell you?
I've just won everything on the table. Your
poker face. What did I tell you about Bullet Train?
That's what you told me.
I got you watch Napoleon, didn't I?
Oh, mate. Fucking shit.
Can't be that bad. I even give that a rave review and giggled. That's all I'm saying.
That was him. I mean, I did that off my own back. That was my own fault for watching that film.
Spectacular, spectacular graphics.
Michael Bay, anything. Luke's lovely.
Luke's gorgeous. The cinematography on it's excellent. The problem is they've got the most miserable git on planet Earth playing him.
It's not even that. It's just a boring story.
I'm not a Joaquin Phoenix fan. I'll say it.
It's just a boring story. He's propagated
the Joker down.
Just a boring
what
story.
What a ballend. He is gay Joker beyond... I prefer Jared Leto. I'll say it now.
I prefer Jared Leto
Outside of that Joker version, that movie is not a good movie. That's a horrible movie. That's not what I go to the movies for. Don't like it. So, yeah. That was just my innermost feeling on that Joker.
That came out, yeah.
It did. I realised I was still talking about reviewing that movie as we go, if I haven't said it enough over the past weeks.
We'll watch the new one, though.
I will watch the new one, because it's got probably, in my opinion, the most talented woman on the planet in it.
Yeah.
I really, really like Gaga.
I
like Gaga.
Yeah, she's lovely. I like Gaga too.
Ever since she played you and I at that piano.
I like her too. I think she's... as much as I'm not a huge fan of all of her songs...
Not a song.
She's done some great songs.
She's done some bangers, but she's done some crap.
But I think I'm more of a fan of just her.
Yeah.
As a person. Like, watching her in interviews and stuff, she's just like... really interesting to listen to, and views and opinions on things and whatnot. She's just like, yeah, pretty fucking sound. And Tony Bennett liked her, so you know, if Tony Bennett liked her, then she must be sound.
The one thing I loved about their two partnership is when he was deep in Alzheimer's and he came onto the stage and he recognized her and went, Gaga,
yeah.
And she had to, you saw her for about 10 seconds, be like, too much. Yeah. Lovely, though.
Tony Bennett's a class act.
He was.
Yeah, proper class. He's my favourite crooner.
I don't think he's with us anymore.
No, he's passed away, yeah. He was my favourite, still is, he's my favourite crooner. Tony Bennett's my favourite crooner.
I've got two.
Sammy Davis.
Yep.
It's got to be Sammy and Old Blue Eyes.
No, it's not Frank. It's not Frank, it's the other one.
Dean.
Yeah.
You're a Dean fan.
I used to love him in... I used to watch movies while he was in it. Bloke. And I used to just like the movies.
Yeah.
I used to watch him with my nan.
I much prefer an older Tony Bennett, though, to a younger Tony Bennett.
Yes.
As he got older and his voice got a bit croakier and a bit more like gravelly, I just think he sounds better with that older voice. But he was just a class act on stage. There was no like gimmicky. There's nothing gimmicky. It was just class. And it was just him and his voice. He did MTV Unplugged. I think that was in the 90s. He did MTV Unplugged. It was fucking ace.
Mm.
Really good. I might have it on DVD actually somewhere. I'll have to have a look for that. But yeah, just brilliant. Brilliant Tony Bennett. Anyway, shall we?
Yes, okay. I need to collapse somewhere and curl up in a ball and drink water.
Okay, so that works. Okay, big thank you to everybody that listens week in and week out. You guys are awesome. Do not forget, whatever your favourite podcast platform is, press that like, follow, subscribe button. It means the world to us. And also, follow us on social media on X. It's at ShinglersListPC. I got it right this week. It's at ShinglersListPC. You can follow me, Shinglers_list. Follow Cleon, Cleon K. Bewley. And on Instagram, it's Shinglers_list and KLBewley5. Same on Threads and Facebook. It's Shingler's List Podcast. You guys are awesome. And we will see you next time.